Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning and welcome to the Lori Beth Jones Hour this morning. We are here to talk about her new book, Jesus Career Counselor. I have Lori Beth in the studio here this morning to share with us her thoughts around the launch of this new book. Welcome, Lori Beth.
Thank you. It's great to be here.
And as we jump into this segment on Jesus Career Counselor, we want to thank each of you for joining the show today and taking the time to listen to this. I know that there was a publisher's weekly report, Lori, just last week on this book, and there's a lot of excitement that's stirring and a great review on how this book is really going to impact those of us who are in transition from a job that we've had forever and suddenly do not have it anymore, or those that might be looking for a new job or trying to find their way in this economic world and society that we live in. So we are excited to unpack this with you this morning for the next few minutes. Welcome.
Thank you. It's just, I'm so excited about this book. And, you know, as I was writing it, there's two key visual images that I came across that I actually lead with in the book. And one of them, I was doing my morning walk in a park in Scottsdale, Arizona, and there was a young man who was waist deep in murky water, and he was moving his feet very slowly, looking down, and his friends were standing on the shore kind of chiding him and chatting. Well, I walked the entire park and came back, and now it was 45 minutes later, and the young man was still in the water looking, and I asked his friends, I said, what is he searching for? And they said, $100 Frisbee. He's not going home without it. And I was just struck by his intensity, that he was willing to stop the game he was playing, inconvenience his friends, and get waist-deep into murky water to find something that was of value.
Wow.
And I thought, I wonder how many of us would be willing to do that, to find the work that God has called us to do, which would be worth so much more than a $100 Frisbee. And yet a lot of people kind of drift along and they end up with careers by default, or they end up living their parents' unlived lives because they don't take the focused time and reflection and study that it requires to really find and keep your perfect work. The other image that I lead with in the book is in the park here at Balboa Park, which is near my home in San Diego. And there's a life-size statue of a woman, looked like she lived in the 1920s, 1800s, and she has on her little hat and her long Eleanor Roosevelt dress and kind of ugly shoes. But it's Kate Sessions, and she is the woman who brought most of the flora and fauna to San Diego.
Mm-hmm.
San Diego was really a brush-type desert, and now we have birds of paradise and all these incredible plants, and she established the first nursery and also planted most of the plants in Balboa Park, which is one of the most beautiful parks in the world. So in the statue, she has a trowel, a digging trowel in one hand, and she's holding a pine cone in her palm with the other. And it made me think about the gifts and calling that each of us have, that you need a shovel in one hand or a digging implement because you're going to have to do some digging. But in the other hand, there's a gift that you're bringing to the world. And so I ask people in the book, and I ask the listeners now, what is that gift that you're holding in your hand?
Mm.
For me, when I asked myself that question, I saw this kind of hovering ball of light and love, and I just wanted to blow it on everybody that I met,
wow.
You know, the love of Christ. So those are two images, and so I warned Shelley in the pre-show that I was going to ask her these questions. And so, Shelley, what is the gift that you're holding in your hand?
Well, those are powerful questions, Lori Beth. And I'm not sure that I would dive into murky water for a Frisbee, but maybe the new iPad. I'm not sure. However, one of the things that comes to my mind is obviously, what we teach in the path in finding our purpose and calling in life is really about our core value. You know, what's at the center of our being. And as we talk about that process, what comes to mind for me is the word growth. You know, so that's probably how I would answer that this morning.
So you could almost be the Kate Sessions statue, because you're constantly digging with our team to get their roots deeper and widen the territory of our responsibility, and you're also holding seeds in your hand. Of course, you would have better looking shoes than she did in her statue. Tennis shoes with Zeus wings on them or whatever. And another thing that was so much fun in writing the book was going through and looking at biblical careers, because I always look back before I look forward. And if you look at the career arcs of Adam and Eve and King David and Joseph and Jesus and Esther, there's some fun questions to explore. For example, who went from the family business to unemployed to self-employed? Well, Adam and Eve.
True.
Because they were in the family business in the Garden of Eden, naming the plants and communing with God and obviously with one another. And then they lost their job through disobedience and were cast out to work by the sweat of their brow, as the story goes. So they went from the family business to unemployed to being self-employed. And so that's kind of a career arc. Satan also had the same career arc. He was in the family business in heaven. He was rejoicing with God, and he was the most beautiful angel. And then he got a little uppity and disobeyed and was cast out, and now he is self-employed. So it's really fun to look at that. And then you look at David, the shepherd, and his career arc, and he went from family business, then he became employed by the king, then he was cast out by the king, had to run for his life, so he went into the hills, he was unemployed, then he became self-employed, then he came back to be king, and then he became an employer running a family business. So as I look at these, and there's a quiz, kind of a Bible quiz in the front of the book, it's clear to me that the straight path of go to college, get a job, stay with a job, retire, that is so rare, you know, in Scripture. It's almost non-existent.
Right.
And certainly in our day, and yet many of us feel that if we don't follow that straight line, we're missing God's work, that we should know, you know, at a certain age, we should know by now what we're supposed to do. Yet many times it's really about being responsive to God in what you're called to do at the moment. I was listening to Steve Jobs. Someone was talking about Steve Jobs, his career, and he said, "I don't have a career. I initiate and I respond."
Right. Lori, let's talk a little bit about this book, and you in the front here you list some reasons why a person might pick up this book. You've lost a job. You've been wrongly terminated. You have an ignorant boss. You inherited sudden wealth. You're being called to relocate. You don't want to keep doing what you've been doing. You feel burned out. How is this book positioned to impact the reader? How do you see that happening in these cases that you've listed here?
Well, in the book, I talk about there's three types of people in the world. There's reactors, there's thinkers, and there's meta-thinkers. So a reactor is someone who waits for something to happen to him or her, and then they react. Lose a job, get a job. The thinkers put a little more thought into it and say, I think I need to go to college, or maybe I need to get retrained, or, gee, it doesn't look like things are too good in my industry. Maybe I need to shift industries. A meta-thinker, meta-thinking comes from meta, which means reflecting about and above something and thinking. So a meta-thinker thinks about what they're thinking about. And this is what Jesus calls us each to do, to think about what we're thinking about. The woman at the well, she went to the well because she was thirsty. She was in a reaction mode. And then Jesus said, if you really knew what you wanted, you would realize you're thirsty for living water.
Right.
and I'm the answer standing here. So he switched it into a meta-thinking mode. How shall we feed these people, Philip? That is a meta-thinking question. So the most important thing, and it's hard when you're in transition, when you're in a forced transition, to step back and say, this is really a time for me to think about.
Yeah, so what would I think about? Would I think about getting a job? Oh, I got to get a job because I got to pay the mortgage and feed my family. Or as a meta thinker, what would I be thinking about?
You would say, you know, at some level, this has happened to me. And rather than becoming a victim of it, we're talking about job loss, for example, then say, this is a pause, this is a time for me to reflect and renew and restore my calling. What did I really come here to do in the world? What is the gift I have in my hand?
Right. That's great, Lori. We don't have a lot of time, and I know this is kind of our first session here to begin unpacking this awesome work that's going to be released here in just a few weeks in May, the first week of May. And I know we're going to, on your Thursday show, we're going to be talking more about each of these sections in the book. But you jumped into restore, and it just happened to be one of the places that I bookmarked here for this call. And you, in the career exercises, the way that you've laid out the book, you've divided it in elemental fashion, as you have done for us, fire, earth, water, and wind. And you can jump into that maybe on Thursday's show and talk a little bit about how you organized the book. But let's look at restore. In the restore segment of this book, you have restore lands, restore health, restore position, restore money, restore kingdom, restore goods, restore comfort, restore lost years, restore paths to dwell in, restore all things, and then you know, ultimately the restoration of life. Wow, that's a lot just, you know, to think about.
Just one chapter, yeah.
Yeah, one chapter. So talk to us a little bit about this concept of how the book is laid out, rise, risk, restore, roar, you know, all these things. Can you address that before we have to jump off here in just about 2 minutes?
Oh, okay. Well, I was thinking about, you know, looking at infomercials and seminars and all the things that people go towards, and there's two dreams that most humans have. They want to achieve or they want to attain. They want to attain wealth, or they want to achieve status. So those are the two dreams of the human being in our natural self. And I thought, well, what would the Holy Spirit dream for us? What are God's dreams for us? I know the plans I have for you. It even could be in Hebrew, the dreams I have for you. And so they just came to me, and so I'll just share them. Like fire, we need to rise and risk and roar. Like water, we need to renew, reflect, and restore. Like the earth, we need to remain, return, and regenerate. And like the wind, we need to revive, release, and rejoice. And so as we do those things, then we will never be unemployed. We will never lack for work in God's kingdom, because it's a state of being. Imagine if we rise like fire, and if we risk like fire, and if we roar like fire, we will be of value to the world and the workplace. And with restore, all of those, each one of those represents a specific promise in Scripture. So I looked through Scriptures, and with these dreams, there's scriptural backups for that. So It's about raising us into a new level of awareness of work in the world. And I'm so excited about this work, because I think it can touch people wherever they are, just like the Holy Spirit does.
Well, that certainly is gives us a lot to think about for the rest of this day as we kind of push through our work week, or looking for a job, or thinking about a career. You know, this book is going to, I think, be a huge benefit in our lives and in our society. So thank you, Lori, for sharing this morning and for writing this book.
Thank you, Shelley. It was an amazing experience for me. A combination of research and reflection and excitement and at times panic when I looked at how huge the issues were. But I think it worked.
Well, we look forward to this week and the weeks ahead and your blogs about this and the interaction and questions as they come from your readers and listeners. So we'll look forward to Thursday night's show with you, and we'll talk to you then.
Thank you, Shelley, for interviewing me on my show.
You're welcome, Lori.
Blessings.